19 minutes past 2 o'clock. Just on a year ago, I spoke to author Geoffrey McGeachan about his then first novel called Fat 50 and something else, which won the inaugural Australian Popular Fiction Competition. It was published, as I said, in August last year by Penguin. His brand new novel called D.E.D. Dead has just hit the markets, and he joins us on the line today. Geoff, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bob.
How are you, mate?
I'm great. I'm fantastic.
That's wonderful. What's the initial reaction to D.E.D. like?
It's been very, very good. The people who've read it so far, family and friends in the main, have been very, very enthusiastic about it, but that's maybe what you might expect. No, but some other people across the board seem to think it's a great fast read, which is what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be a really fast-moving, just a good yarn.
Well, it certainly is. I'm up to about chapter 9, and it's certainly very entertaining, as was indeed the last one. You've really got a knack for grabbing attention and then just running with it.
It's the kind of thing I like to read. I like to read a fast-paced story, and so I like to write the same sort of thing. I think it's really fun if you just keep going and you can't put it down. That's what I aim for. You get to the end of a chapter and you think, maybe I'll just have a couple of pages of the next chapter.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
And you're into it.
And you're into it. You're trapped.
Yes, indeed. Now, that's wonderful. Listen, tell us about the hero, about Albie Murdoch. Where did he come from?
Well, he came out of my brain, but...
I mean, he must
where
be...
come from, but he's a photographer, but he actually has a career as a spy, hidden under his career as a photographer. And I've had a career as a photographer, but not with a spy hidden. So it was quite easy to create the world of a photographer.
Yes.
So that's the way I went with that, and then I just underlayered this thing where he's actually working for the government underneath that, and he uses the photography as a cover to travel the world, take pictures, but you know, do his spying business.
Sure. And it all seems to come to or be focused towards a somewhat fictional town called Bitter Springs.
That's where everything, all paths lead eventually to Bitter Springs. It's a bit of a circuitous route. It starts in Melbourne.
Yes.
Things happen in Melbourne. Things happen to get worse in Sydney. He sneaks away to Bali to try and escape, and he's pursued there. He goes to Broome, to Perth, back to Sydney, to Byron Bay, but there's no way of escaping the fact that he's got to wind up in Central Australia outside this mysterious American base called Bitter Springs.
Fantastic. Did you have factual events to base this on, or is this purely out of the bonds, probably for your own entertainment as much as anybody else's?
It's pretty much like that. You know, there are, obviously, there's the few secret American bases in Australia. And you just, for this kind of writing, which is really entertainment, you just get into this whole what-if area of, well, what if this happened?
Yeah.
What if something like this would happen, and what if a character like this decided to do this? And so you just run with it. In a lot of cases, the characters just, they take me places. I create the characters, and then sometimes they take me places I'm really surprised. I just go with them, and they do things. Sometimes you sit there and look at it, and you think, that's incredible. And you think, I don't think I wrote that. I think this guy did it.
Yeah. That's wonderful. One thing I noticed about Fat and 50 was that it read so visually that I felt sometimes that I was reading a film script. Did you end up with any film offers out of it?
We're hanging on to the film possibilities. My wife's a director.
Oh, right.
And one of the reasons why I wrote it, I wanted to see whether I could actually be... whether I could actually write. I mean, that was the challenge for me, of having wanted to... You know, having had the dreams of being a writer for many, many years, I thought, you know, do it. Just see whether you can do it.
Right.
And the competition came up, and that was a perfect timing thing. But always in the back of my mind was, you know, this would be a great film. It's a good book. I think it'd be a good film. And the idea was that, well, my wife's a director. It's something that, it's a project she could run with. So that's, but you know, there hasn't been, you know, any outside interest, which I find is interesting, because there does seem to be a real hunger for Australian stories.
And especially ones like this, which are a decent mix of travelogue and the spy routine, who's wonderfully atypical spy. I mean, even the picture on the front of this book has got Albie Murdoch there with about a 4 or 5 day growth on, and some very expensive looking sunglasses.
So he's more of your Australian bloke, I think is the way to describe him.
Yeah.
Things don't always go the way that he thinks he will, and he's never quite as successful with the ladies as he hopes he will be. and the women he runs into are usually very, very feisty and very strong and very opinionated and always more than a match for him. So he's just pretty much almost, I'd say, your average bloke, but in some very not very average situations.
Situations, yeah, which are probably as much a figment of his mind as anybody.
He never is. He's not 100% sure what's going on, especially when everyone's trying to kill him and he can't figure out who he's safe with.
Or even why they're trying to kill him.
That's it. He doesn't know. This is the interesting thing about writing in the first person in this particular case. When you write in the first person, you can't go outside what's happening to your major character.
Yes.
So as I'm writing this, I have to always bear in mind I can't know any more than the reader does. And so we're working, sort of in synchronicity that the readers, as I'm writing, I've got to keep in mind, no, I only know this much. It's got to be a mystery to me so that I'm working on the same level as the reader. I know where I'm going eventually, but it's really good fun to try and be as confused as the character is.
Yeah, the opening sentence, I think, is a honey. If I may quote it, it says, I should have known it was going to be a lousy week when I dropped my gun in the tram on the way to the office.
It's pretty much all downhill from there. Really downhill in some instances.
That's a great opening line. I mean, gosh, you certainly know how to throw the hooks out.
That sentence is really important. All the publishers keep saying, oh, that's a really important sentence. You've got to,
Oh yeah.
It's really also it's also got to set the tone for the story, and the tone I think for Albie is pretty much established there. He's not James Bond. He dropped his gun in the tram.
Yes,
he's just he's just a guy doing a job.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that I guess anybody could do. Should you be toting a rod to drop it in a tram, and that of course could only happen in Melbourne.
I guess you could say that, yes. So I have to be a bit careful. I grew up in Melbourne. I'm from Melbourne originally.
Right.
And I've been living away for a long time. And I don't want to bag Melbourne. I'm very fond of Melbourne. But I had to be a little bit careful.
But you do get
stuck into Australian rules a little bit as well.
Oh, well, that's fair enough. I mean, really, the two of those go hand in glove, don't they?
They certainly do.
And they used to more than they do these days.
When I was growing up in Melbourne, it was extraordinary. I remember a journalist in Melbourne named Keith Dunstan started the Anti-Football League because there was so much obsession with football.
Yes.
And it was it was the most heretical thing you could possibly do. The outrage. It was a joke. And the outrage that somebody should actually come up with an anti-football league was astounding.
Yes. How wonderful. But that's what our country's made of, people who like to be individuals.
They sure do.
That's great stuff. I presume that DED is now on the shelves?
It's on the shelves. It should be in the bookstores and up Moree Way, and you can't miss the cover. That's for sure.
Yes, indeed. And depending on who you are as to which part of the cover you look at.
I think that was a very good decision on the part of the designer of the cover.
Very clever. I mean, if you're an erstwhile pilot, they've even got aeroplanes on the front as well.
Yeah, the designer, Deborah Bilson, did a fabulous job. She managed to capture the story in that cover.
Mm. No, it's just fine. Do you get fun out of writing these?
Oh, I love it. I mean, that's
really?
The thing. I get fun out of writing them. They really entertain me. And when people say to me, I really enjoyed that, it's just a great buzz. And that's a great feeling to have fun writing it. I couldn't do it if it wasn't fun. I mean, I try to be serious sometimes, and it doesn't work.
Right.
You just have to. I think that you may remember in the first book there was a bank robbery scene.
Yes, indeed. Right in the beginning.
Yeah, and the editor said, "Oh, maybe we should have some more tension. Can you make it more dramatic?" And I tried, and it just got funny.
It did.
Funnier and funnier because it was. If your boss came in and said he was going to rob, the bank, and in Australia people are just going to go, "Oh yeah, right."
Yep.
And they basically ignored him. It worked so well, and that's what I try and do. I try and think, okay, there's a uniquely Australian response to all these situations, and Albie pretty much has that response. Sometimes he doesn't take it seriously, and sometimes he just gets exasperated with getting himself into trouble. But it is always, I try and work on that. You know, there's a take that we have on things in this country, and I try and as much see if I can capture that.
Yeah, it's low. Actually, you mentioned the bank robbery in Fat and 50. When I was reading that particular sequence, I was thinking somehow in my mind of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh yeah, I guess you could say that.
There's a wonderful parallel there that I found anyway.
Yeah, you're right. There is that they had that same kind of things just don't seem to work out.
Yes.
But if you enjoyed, I'll just give you a bit of a warning that as you travel through this new book, if you enjoyed Martin and Faith, you might bump into them somewhere through the new book.
Aha.
Just for those who like them, they do make a sort of a reappearance.
A guest shot.
A guest shot, yeah.
That's wonderful. Now, I presume you're working on another one?
I am. I'm actually, Albie, I guess you'll realise that Albie gets through this okay, even though everyone's trying to kill him. He will get through this.
Yeah.
And he's...
Well, otherwise you've got no end to it.
He's due to reappear next year. In a slightly different, in a new story.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful, Geoffrey. It's lovely to read a book which is straight fun.
Thank you. That's what I aimed it to be.
That's what it is. I mean, the first one was, and this one has all the elements of the first one. Of course, different settings and things, but it's just lovely, compelling reading, and I'm enjoying it thoroughly. I'm only sorry I haven't had the time to get through to the end of it.
If you're on chapter 9, I can tell you there's a lot of things to happen before you get to the end of it.
I can imagine so. I mean, the chapters are not very long, but they're certainly action-packed.
It moves, I gotta say. Yes, it does move.
That's wonderful. Geoffrey, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Bob. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you for the book, and we'll await March 2006 with trepidation, I guess.
August, around August.
Oh, August. I'm sorry. Yep,
that's
of course. So you is this going to be a trend every August, another Albie book?
We'll see what happens. It's early days for this one, but the response is pretty good. So I think we'll see what happens next year. I would enjoy it. I enjoy the character.
That's lovely. Just terrific stuff. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Geoffrey McGeechan, who is... A writer of extraordinarily entertaining, fast-moving, slightly fantastic escapism. And this new book is called D.E.D. Dead, and it should be in the shops right now, wherever you are. It was published on the 1st of August, so it should be out. Even though it's only the 9th today, it should have permeated the little precincts of the literary set. Good stuff. It's 27 and a half minutes to 3 o'clock, and this is 2VM.
Paul Clitheroe's tax tips on 2VM come to you.